to those that are joining by camera, thank you. We're glad to have you here in the sanctuary of the Holiday Shores Baptist Church, north of Edwardsville here in Illinois. And we study the scripture together. Last Sunday, we studied a man who became bitter. Bitter about what life had given to him. And you sort of understand it because his granddaughter had been violated by a powerful man. And then that man had also killed her husband. And he had taken her to be his wife. And Ahithophel was his name. And he never recovered from that. His heart became more and more bitter and angry and upset and frustrated. He asked a lot of why questions and never got a really good answer. And so he became bitter to the point where he committed suicide. He unalived himself. Bitterness is taking the pain of a situation, wrapping it up, putting it in our backpack, getting it out every now and then to look at it and play with it and remember the harm and the damage and the pain somebody gave us. And we get so absorbed in the injury that more and more we get hurt. We hurt in our hearts and our minds. And it seems like we enjoy playing with our hurts, doesn't it? We enjoy playing with our hearts. We like to get them out and look at it and talk about it. And we like being a victim. And that's what Ahithophel became until it actually took his own life for it. Bitterness is destructive. Bitterness is like drinking your own poison. It's like being your own executioner. So we want to move out of bitterness land, and we want to live in forgiveness land. And bitterness led Ahithophel into many really dumb, foolish, stupid, ridiculous, ungodly decisions. And we've seen that happen in people's lives too. So bitterness is not a positive thing at all. Is there any hope once we become bitter? I mean, something happens and we feel this bitterness begin to grow in us. Is there an exit ramp off Bitter Highway? We need to get on that exit because, yes, there is. There is an off-ramp on the highway of bitterness. Today I want to study a man who had every reason to be bitter. I mean, this young guy should have just been for a lot of his life. Angry at his brothers, angry at the situation, angry at people who lied about him. And that man is Old Testament Joseph. You know, I have to say Old Testament Joseph because there's a New Testament Joseph. In fact, there are at least two or three New Testament Josephs, and we're going to talk about the Old Testament one. Let me give you a little bit of background, and then we want to walk through the story to try to understand who this young man was, what he faced, what he went through, and then how he came out of it. This is early in the Jewish lineage. We have Abraham, who is the father of the Jewish family. We have his son Isaac, and then Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And the one we're looking at, Joseph came through Jacob. So he's the 11th out of 12 sons of Jacob. He's the first son of his favorite wife. We'll talk about that in a moment, too. There was a great hatred for Joseph. I mean, he's the 11th kid down the line, the 11th son. But there was a great hatred for Joseph that developed in his brothers. I want to show you why and what happened. So here's the story. The causes of bitterness. Why did Joseph's brothers become bitter? Well, the scripture, and we're now in Genesis 37, verse 2, it tells us that Joseph, a young man of 17, you remember when you were 17? history. Joseph was tending the flocks with his brothers. So all 12 of them are out there hard at work. And, of course, there are more mothers involved. There are at least four different women who were mothers in that family. So the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And it says that he brought their father a bad report about them. So Joseph is out with his brothers, and they're taking care of the flocks and herds of Jacob, the father. And something those guys were doing, those older brothers, Joseph goes back to Dad and says, "Dad, did you know that your boys are doing this?" Got them into big trouble. Was their behavior bad? Was there something wrong with their behavior? We don't know. Were they making bad business choices? Spending money they shouldn't have spent? You know, the scripture really doesn't say. We don't know if there was a shady business practice going on, if there was self-indulgence, if there was bad behavior. But whatever it was, Joseph felt it rose to the height that it ought to be going back to Dad, and Dad needs to deal with this. And so in their minds, at least the brothers' minds, Joseph becomes a tattletale, and he runs back home and says, "Hey, Dad, this is what they're doing." And the scripture says that they didn't like him for that. In fact, the word hate pops up a lot. They really despised this young man. They didn't like him at all. So they were caught sinning, and that was a starting point that really irritated them. Now, there's a second thing going on, too, and that is that Joseph was loved more by his father. Verse 3 says, "Now Israel," that's Jacob, "loved Joseph more than the other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made an ornate robe for him, a robe that's multicolored." And a lot of the translators really struggle with knowing exactly how to translate that, but we kind of have an idea of what's going on here. This robe was a sign of power, authority. It placed Joseph in the family up here. It also said to everybody else in the family, "I love this boy more than I love you." Now, you know that's going to go over really well. Some of you grew up in families where maybe you're the favorite child or maybe you're the least favorite child. It works both ways. You would have thought that Jacob would have understood that's not the way to go. Because, you know, his family, when he was growing up, what mom loved him, Rebecca loved Jacob, and the father, Isaac, loved his brother Esau. And that created all kinds of problems in the home. But somehow that never really registered on Jacob at all, on Israel at all. Well, you can understand why they were upset. That's unfair. You know, Dad never made any of us a nice coat like that. And it was probably expensive. It sort of sounds like the prodigal son, doesn't it? The elder brother goes, "You never gave me a young goat so I could have a party with my friends." And I'm sure Joseph's brothers must have felt exactly the same way. I wonder this morning, what unfair circumstance has driven you to bitterness? Your position in the family? Maybe you're less loved? Has there been an inheritance problem? Remember the fellow in the New Testament comes to Jesus and said, "Jesus, you just got to make my brother, you know, pass out the inheritance in the right sort of way." He was upset with his family. Maybe it's a lazy coworker in your life just driving you crazy. Maybe you've been ripped off in some way. Maybe somebody else has an advantage over you and you don't think it's fair. Maybe something's been taken away from you and you're just kind of mad at God. And I'm very aware that more of us are probably angry and bitter at God than we are with other human beings in our life and our world. But at any rate, Joseph, they really felt that dad loved Joseph more, and that just ticked them off and burned them. They didn't like it at all. But there was something else going on, too. The dream. Or maybe I should have said the dreams, because there actually were two of them. So in verse 5, it says, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. So he tells them what the dream is. You'd have thought Joseph might want to not share this, but he felt he should. He said to them, listen to the dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. I think they had a pretty good idea what he was saying, don't you? And they didn't like that very much. You think you're better than us. And they're probably walking around going, I'm never going to bow my knee to him. What's getting into him? This is crazy. This little brother's lost his mind. I guarantee it's not going to happen. Only in your dreams, Joseph, only in your dreams. So the scripture says in verse 4 there that they hated him. They hated him. It also says they couldn't say a kind word to him. My mom used to say, if you can't say something nice, don't say it. How many moms said something like that? Yeah. A few. It was cruel stuff they said back to him. It was unkind stuff they said. They said to him, in verse 8, do you intend to reign over us? You got to be out of your mind. What's the matter with you? Who do you think you are? You can just feel the huff and the puff in what they're saying. In fact, after he shared the second dream, Father Jacob rebuked him, said, come on, Joseph, lighten up. Even he felt like Joseph was going too far, but that's why they hated him. In verse 11, 37, 11, the brothers were jealous of him. They thought Joseph was getting something that they weren't getting. They had envy in their hearts. And in Genesis 49 and verse 22 and 23, when Jacob is reviewing life with his sons, about Joseph, he says this, with bitterness, archers attacked him. They shot at him with hostility. And I just wanted to point out one thing there, because he's painting a word picture, and he's saying, literally, of the brothers, they are bitter. Man, were they upset. They were hot in their anger. They were deeply offended at Joseph and who Joseph was. So that's how they became bitter. And those other sons, the first 10, hated Joseph with a passion. Well, the trouble really begins when Jacob sends Joseph to find his brothers and bring back a report how things are going. He said to him here in verse 14, go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me. I'd like a report. So I don't know if the boys weren't checking in enough, or if Joseph was oftentimes the messenger that would go and check up on him. So Joseph takes off. It's a long trip. Jacob is at Hebron, and Joseph goes up to Shechem. That's a 50-mile walk. Done one of those lately? Well, so it's several days, and when he gets there, he discovers that the brothers are not there. And so he asks around, and he finds out from somebody that they actually went on down the road even farther away from home to a place called Dothan. And now that's another 14 miles. So these guys are now 64 or 65 miles away from home. You know, that says a lot. I think they were so frustrated with the home thing, they wanted to get away as far as possible. I don't want to live anywhere close to Dad, and if Joseph's there, I'm clearing out. So you get a sense of the hostility of their heart. Now, in chapter 37 and verse 18, it said, Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan, but they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. So now we've got the plot. Let's talk about what's going on. They saw him coming, and he's wearing that coat. I think we'll talk about that a little bit more next week. He's wearing that multicolored, ornate robe that drove him crazy before, and he's still wearing that thing. So they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come on now, let's kill him and throw him in one of the cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes out of his dreams. You can just hear him spitting those words out, can't you? It's coming out of the hatred of their hearts. Now, when Reuben hears that, he tries to rescue him. No, let's not take his life. So they start off, let's kill him, and then Reuben, who is the firstborn son of the whole batch, is saying, no, let's not kill him, let's just put him in the cistern over there for now. And he wanted to send him back home. Judah also reached out to protect him. Let's sell him, let's not kill him. So that's the idea on the table. Let's not kill him. Let's just wait for a caravan to come along. And when that caravan comes, we'll sell him and he can be taken out of here into Egypt or some distant place. Reuben is Leah's firstborn. Judah is her lastborn. Remember the two lady wives? You had Rachel, and that's Joseph's mom. Is the sister of Leah, and so it's like they're trying to work something out here because they really don't want to kill Joseph. They really don't want to do that. Let's see. They sold him down to Egypt. So verse 23 says, when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into a cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. So it's just a big hole in the ground. And so that's where they're going to keep him until they can get rid of him. And then they decide, okay, we're going to let Jacob draw his own conclusions about Joseph. So verse 34, 31, then they took Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. And they took the ornate robe back to their father and said, we found this, examine to see whether it is your son's robe. That's an impossible story to believe. So Joseph is on his trip 60 miles and just happens to get knocked off by a wild beast of some sort. And as the brothers are coming back home, they just happen to find his robe. You know, you'd think Jacob would be going, that's a hard one to believe. But he does fall for it. And his conclusion is, it is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces. A broken heart in Dad. Now I want you to notice some things here, 3 points, because it's going to be important. Joseph does something to his brothers after this, and I want to show you the comparison. Notice that they hated Joseph because he was more special to their father. They really hated him for that. Notice that they were willing to kill him or enslave him. I mean, you got to really be mad to do that to another human being. And thirdly, they were willing to make Dad Jacob hurt. You know, we don't care if this messes with Dad's mind and heart for the next 20 years. We don't care if he's going to grieve over his son for years and years and years. We don't care. And that's where they were. Now, you'd have to be really nasty to do what they did, don't you think? No, you'd have to be really bitter to do what they did. See what comes out of bitterness? Can you imagine that? Hating a brother, willing to kill him or enslave him, willing to make your dad think the unthinkable about his son. They were bitter. They were bitter. Well, let's do a brief history lesson. And you can read these scriptures later if you want through Joseph's story. But Joseph is sold as a slave to a caravan that's going to Egypt. He has to walk almost 1,000 miles, step by step by step, in chains. And he's taken and sold as a slave in Egypt into the service of Potiphar. Potiphar is an Egyptian official, probably a more high-ranking one. While there, Potiphar discovers that Joseph is a very good manager. He works hard. He is able to manage his affairs. And the scriptures tell us that Joseph took care of everything in Potiphar's household. And everything that he touched prospered. Then we know in the story that he was accused of assault by Mrs. Potiphar. She wanted to sleep with him, and he didn't want to do that because it would have been a sin against God. And so he refuses, and she is really mad because he said no so many times. And now that lie that she said to her husband, he tried to assault me, and that Hebrew slave you brought into the house, you can tell they had a real good relationship. Anyway, Potiphar then puts him in prison. And Joseph is there for a few years. While he's there, he interprets some dreams of officials in the Pharaoh's circle of servants. They had been thrown into prison, and they have dreams, and Joseph interprets their dreams. And the dream was basically this guy, this servant's going to be taken out of here and put to death by the Pharaoh. But you're going to get your job back, and you're going to go back serving Pharaoh. So please remember me and help me get out of here at some point. And so when Pharaoh, some months down the road, has a dream, that servant's going, hey, I remember there was a guy in prison told me my dream, and it came out true. I know what the meaning was. Send for him. Maybe he can help you with your dream too. And so Joseph comes before Pharaoh, and he interprets the dream, and the dream is about a great famine of 7 years that's going to come on Egypt, but there are going to be 7 years of plenty first. And so Joseph is put in charge of Pharaoh's food program, and he's the one that's going to grow and harvest and collect enough food so that Egypt can make it through the 7 years famine. Well, as you know the story, he becomes second in command in Egypt under Pharaoh. And famine begins after 7 years. And by the second year, it's so bad in Canaan, where Jacob and his family are, and they heard about food in Egypt, so Jacob sends his sons to Egypt to get grain. And off they go. And it's interesting that when they come in to buy grain, and I don't know how in the world they cross paths, but somehow God made that happen, Joseph recognizes them. He goes, those are my brothers. But remember, he's probably all dressed up in Egyptian clothes and headbands. They don't recognize him. They have no idea that this guy is Joseph. By the way, they come in bowing down. Whoa, I guess Joseph's dreams came true after all, right? Yeah. So Joseph recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. Now, remember, he's probably about 40 years old now when his brothers come. It's been a long time since they saw him anyway, and probably 20 or 25 years. Now, Joseph wants to do a test. And that's really what this next section is all about. This is not Joseph acting in bitterness. This is Joseph, although I think he had every reason to be. I mean, if anybody should have been upset with the family, it should have been Joseph. But this is not bitterness. This is a test to see if his brothers have changed. He wants to know that. Are they still the same people who hated me so much, one of their brothers, that they'd be willing to kill or enslave me? I wonder if they're still like that. Are they same men, or have they changed? Are they willing to protect their dad now? Those are the questions he wants answered. And so he puts them into a little test. He tests them on these three points. He wanted to find out what they thought of their youngest brother, Benjamin. Now, Benjamin is a full brother to Joseph, and so of a different mother again, so maybe the brothers won't like him very much. I mean, Joseph's little brother, that's probably not a good position to be in. So were they still jealous of him? Would they be willing to sell Benjamin to save their own skins? And did they have any regard for the feelings of their dad in this whole process? So the story is really interesting. It was a clever approach that Joseph used in order to find out what was really going on. So let's walk our way through it as we look now in chapter 37 and then up to chapter 42. It's interesting, too, when you compare these, what Joseph did to his brothers is almost exactly what they did to him. It makes a really good study as you think about this. Joseph, when he was sold into slavery, was on a mission to care for the flock of Jacob. Now his brothers are on a mission to care for the flock and the family of Jacob. Very similar. When the brothers come, the first thing he does is he accuses them of being spies. That's in chapter 42 and verse 9. Certainly, that's what they had done to him when he showed up. Oh, yeah, you're here. You're come as a spy. You're going to try to tell Dad something bad about us again, aren't you? So it's a similar type of thing. He accuses them of being spies. But they're saying, no, 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 we're innocent. We're not spies. We're just all the sons of one man. So but Joseph wouldn't listen to him, just like they wouldn't listen to his pleas when he was begging them not to send him into slavery and to sell him. Well, the brothers were put in prison overnight. That was their cistern, I guess, just as Joseph had been put in the cistern. And then the brothers had decided not to kill him but to sell him. Joseph decided, I'm just going to keep one of you all, of the brothers, and I'm going to release all the rest of you so you could take food back to your dad, if there's actually a father in the picture. And so he picks Simon, and it's likely that Simon was the ringleader of those who were trying to do Joseph in the first place, back when he was sold into slavery. And so he puts Simon in prison. He is bound before their very eyes, just as Joseph was, and put into prison. So they take off, and they go back home, but Simon stays, and he's in prison. And the stipulation is, next time you come back, they had mentioned younger brother Benjamin, next time you come back, you bring that young brother with you, or I'm going to know that you're spies. So don't come back without him. And they went home with that ringing in their ears. Don't come back without Benjamin. Well, during this time, he realizes that they're repenting. Here's Genesis 42. They said to one another, these are the brothers, surely we are being punished because of our brother. The treatment they're getting out of the Egyptian royal that's standing there, Joseph, but they don't know it. We deserve what we're getting because what we did to our brother. And we saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we wouldn't listen. That's why this distress has come upon us. You know, they're walking around going, boy, our conscience has hurt us all these years, and here we are, we're paying for our sin. What we did was wrong, and we're paying for it now. And then verse 22, Reuben replied, didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? But you wouldn't listen. You know, these things are fresh in their minds from all those years before. Now we must give account according, an accounting for his blood. You know what they're doing? There's a confession of sin going on. And Joseph is there overhearing this. Now they don't know that he understands what they're saying because they're probably speaking their language, and they thought Joseph, and he was probably always working through an interpreter, but Joseph's hearing and he's understanding. And so test number one is over. They have repented. They're deeply sorrowful over what they had done to Joseph. If they could go back, they wouldn't do the same thing again. A lot of sorrow. And then test two begins, and we're going to find out, is their repentance really real? So he says, go home and bring your youngest brother back. Yeah. Go home and bring your brother back. And so that's what they do. And when they needed grain again, some months later, the father is saying, go back to Egypt, get some more grain. See what you can bring home. Bring as much as you can. Take a lot of money along. And they're going, you know, we can't go back there unless we take Benjamin. You're not taking Benjamin. I've already lost one son. I don't want to lose another. And Jacob's really upset about all of this. But finally he says, okay, take off and go. And so they go. And they return to Egypt with Benjamin. Now Joseph treats them pretty kindly when they come. Simon is released from prison, chapter 43, verse 23. And then in verse 16 of that chapter 43, he invites them all to come have dinner with him. They're probably wondering, what in the world is this all about? They don't get it. But you know, at that dinner, chapter 43 tells us that Benjamin was given five times more food. I mean, they got steaks. He got a steak. And everything else is heaped up. Now, I don't think he was expected to eat all that, but it was a way of saying, you are the honored brother. The rest of you are less important than this brother. What do you think Joseph's trying to do there? If they're still envious of their brothers who receive more like Joseph, it's going to show itself up now with Benjamin. Yeah. Why is he getting more than us? This isn't fair. But nothing like that comes out whatsoever. So if they were still envious, that would have really galled them. It did not. And so Joseph's realizing that there's been some wonderful changes in their lives as a group of brothers. He had another test, though, when they loaded their sacks and got ready to put them on the animals for transport back to Jacob and the family, they took Joseph's cup, some sort of an ornate, silver, valuable, very personal thing, and put it in Benjamin's sack. So started filling that sack up with grain, and then they put the cup in, then they filled it up. So nobody knew that the cup was in Benjamin's bag, in his sack. And Joseph lets him take off and leave town for a while. And after they've gone a certain distance, Joseph tells his soldiers, go track them down. Find out who stole my cup. And when the soldiers arrive, they're saying, one of you stole the cup. The second command's cup. And why did you do that? And we're really angry. And the ruler is really angry. Why are you doing this? And so they start down the sacks and they're looking. And all of a sudden, there it is in Benjamin's sack. It's like when they were eating dinner at Joseph's place, he stole it. That's what it looks like. And now Benjamin's in big trouble, big trouble. Now, if the brothers were still evil, they would offer no genuine protest over Benjamin's arrest. I mean, Benjamin's going to go back and have to go to jail. If they didn't love their brother and hadn't changed, they wouldn't care. So what? It's no skin off my nose. Their envious hearts maybe would have been secretly glad at his misfortune, and they would have just letting Benjamin be taken into captivity. They wouldn't have cared, but they did care. Their response is, in chapter 44, the brothers tore their clothes in remorse, going, no, 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 this, we can't let this happen. Judah pleads for Benjamin's deliverance. In fact, Judah offers himself, take me back, put me in prison. But this boy's got to go home to his dad. I mean, that dad already lost one son. We can't have him lose another son. So it became very, very clear that envy was not in control of their lives. They had lost their bitterness, and they were thinking differently. So they really passed test number two. They were willing to protect Benjamin, and in protecting Benjamin, they were protecting Dad from a lot more grief. Now they're just totally different in their hearts. So it looks like their repentance is genuine. It looks like they're different men, that they're not the same as they were before. And so they've passed the tests. And Joseph is wonderfully amazed, and he's sobbing. And verse 4 says, then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. And when they had done so, he said, boy, I'd love to have been there to see this. I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now don't be distressed and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Can you imagine the shock? Can you imagine all of a sudden the dream comes back in their minds and they realize it was true. We did bow before him just like Joseph's dreams said. Later on in chapter 50 of Genesis, we have another indication they really did recognize their sins. And Jacob is now dead. He's a very old man. And so the scriptures tell us that when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? Joseph just didn't want to do it in front of Dad, so now the dad's dead and won't know. We're in big trouble. So they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left us instructions before he died. This is what you're to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they have committed in treating you so badly. I'm really wondering if Jacob actually said something like that, or these are the brothers just saying, okay, we're going to lay it all on the table. We are so sad and sorry, and we really messed with your life, and we shouldn't have. We treated you really badly. Now please forgive the sins of your servants of the God of your father. And when they got that message to him, Joseph wept. He was so moved because it was another confession of sin. We know we did wrong. We messed up. We are so sorry we did. So they had hated Joseph because he was more special to their father. They were willing to kill or enslave Joseph. They were willing to make their dad suffer. But they changed. Benjamin was loved by the father, and they protected that love. They wanted to protect Benjamin, even if it cost them something. And they really wanted to protect their dad. And so Joseph is reconciled to his brothers. I wonder, here were a bunch of brothers who were bitter to the core. I mean, they are just upset, mad, angry. What changed them? What made the brothers deeply repent of their bitterness? Man, I've looked through Genesis. I can't find exactly what it was, but I know that the Almighty God was working in their hearts. And the Holy Spirit was trying to get through to them. What are you doing? What are you doing? Do you really want to be this way? And little by little, through those 20, 25 years, God changed their hearts and their thinking so that they became men who were much, much different. And when I think of that, it brings me comfort. Because the God of that time is still the God of today. So he can work on me and my attitudes and my kids and their attitudes. And, the work can go on. And he is always faithful and trying to move us toward righteousness and holiness. And that's exactly what he was doing in that time. God worked for years in their hearts and their consciousness. He changed them. And they began to see the foolishness of their attitudes. Here's the thing, if you listen to God's voice, he can change you. That's why we got to get into the book. Let it be a part of our lives. Listen to what God says to us. Study all the examples in the Old and New Testament of people and how God reacted and responded and related to them. And then the flat-out statements God made. When we interact with those, God has the ability to change our hearts. And he does. Through his word. And then I think of another guy that should have really been bitter in this story. That's Joseph. If you were in Joseph's position, what would you have liked to have done to those brothers? I bet we could have come up with a few choice challenges to put in front of them. The other one, and this is like a rabbit trail, but I've always wondered, Mrs. Potiphar lied about him. What happens when he steps into all that power and she sees him in that place of power for the first time? What did he say to her? What did he say to Potiphar? It's a good thing Joseph was not a bitter man because he had the power to do them harm. He really could have. Well, why wasn't he bitter? Why wasn't he upset? How did he get through this? Well, look here at Genesis 45, starting in verse 5. And now do not be distressed, he's talking to his brothers, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. What's he saying? God did this to protect us. This is an act of God. Notice he says, for 2 years now there's been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing and reaping. Then look at the next verse, verse 7. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. Joseph says, I learned to trust God. Joseph said, there's no bitterness in my heart because I know it wasn't you that did this. It was God who arranged it for our common good. Why are you bitter? Is there something that maybe God is trying to do? Oh, I know they did you bad and their intent toward you was evil, but maybe God had something bigger in mind. This bitterness you feel. Can you see that the harm that was done to us somehow fits into God's plan for our life? To make our lives better and to accomplish a great purpose? Maybe James 1 is a good place to read. Consider it pure joy. This is James 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. There's another guy that should have been really bitter, and that was Jacob. But Jacob got his son back, and he was happy about that. You remember when they came back and said, now you got it, we've got to bring Benjamin back. And he is going, you know, everything is against me. He just depressed. Oh, everything is bad. The climate is against me. The people are against me. The Egyptians are against me. I can't live my life anymore. I'm sick and tired of life. You know, the fact of the matter was, no, everything was just fine for him. He just didn't know it yet. Don't give up. Don't quit. Everything was for him. Somebody said, forgiveness is a funny thing. It warms the heart and cools the sting. And he forgave his sons. And Joseph forgave his brothers. And maybe that's what we have to do in our lives too. Let's get rid of the bitterness. I like in this story the great mercy of Joseph through it all. I mean, he could have thrown the book at these brothers. But he gave them back their money. He gave them liberal amounts of grain. And he gave them provision for the way. He packed a whole bunch of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and sent it with them so that they could eat on the trip. And I realize that God's like that. We have offended him greatly, but he still blesses us. It's profound. So what's the answer for bitterness? Forgiveness. It comes to a point where we have to say, I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm going to change. I'm going to forgive. And that's what we have to do. I think we're going to talk more about that next week. Let's stand and pray together, shall we? Father, you know our hearts and these old sin natures, they love to get upset. They love to look at the wrongs that have been done to us, and they love to chew on that and get angry over that and sometimes we just want to call down curses on our enemies, those who have harmed us. But that's a dead-end street. Thank you for giving us an exit off the highway of bitterness. Thank you that we can forgive others even as you have forgiven us. So thank you for this wonderful story of Joseph. Father, help us to apply it to our lives. Take the bitterness and put out the fire. Take the bitterness and remove it from our hearts and lives. Give us a spirit of gratitude and thankfulness and just bless us as we deal with these things in our hearts. Thank you. It's in Jesus' name we ask this, because he can help us sort us out. Amen.